we are starting a new segment this week, and I believe it's going to be once a month. News Talk 1010 Chief Legal Analyst Ed Prucci is here, and he's not just a criminal defense attorney. He is also a big-time traveler, and I think we're calling this the crime traveler. Welcome to the show.
I am so excited to be here doing this, Barb.
This is a lot of fun. And is the crime traveler the name of your blog?
It is. So there is a blog, thecrimetraveler.com. You can check that out. I haven't updated it all that much recently, but I am going to be adding some stuff, and we'll try to keep that up to speed each month as we get to some topics, talk about places I've been, places people want to go, and just take it from there.
Now, is the idea of this that in a month you'll have gone somewhere else, or are we looking back? Because that's a lot of traveling.
I wish that was the case. Unfortunately, I spend a lot more time in court than I do traveling and on the road. But I think what we're going to try to do is, thankfully, I've got a pretty big bank of experiences and trips in the background there. But also, I think we're going to try to use this segment a little bit to talk to people about where they're at, but give them some tips about how to make the most out of their vacations and what that means in terms of, you know, you're taking a week off, and probably the most valuable thing you have, it's not even the cost of the holiday, although that's always something, but the cost of your time away. I mean, we're all so busy, whether you're pulling the kids from school, whether you're taking one of those weeks of precious summer vacation, and obviously the time that you're taking away from work. So I'm always of the philosophy that you want to make each vacation something truly, truly unique. You want to take advantage of every single day that you're away. You want to see as much as you can and do as much as you can without running people ragged. So I know that my wife and kids will sometimes just put down a flag and protest and say, it's time we just hit the beach and stay on the beach. Although even that, I think, is an opportunity to do something a little bit different, get outside your comfort zone, and appreciate it.
You know, it's a really good point, because a lot of us have very limited time, and most of us, if you're lucky, you'll take one vacation a year, even if that. And our philosophy is, no matter where we go, we want to see at least one thing local. We want to get out, especially, and we don't go, we've only gone to an all-inclusive resort with our kids once, I think. We've done a number of different trips, but that kind of thing only once. But we did two local day trips to check out, because every all-inclusive resort looks the same.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't want to knock the all-inclusives, because I think that they're a real opportunity for tremendous value also, right? If you're looking for something that's easy, you don't want to be the person to plan. I mean, I plan like crazy. So, you know, a 2-week trip might be something that takes me literally 9 months is when I may start planning that, probably in great detail on almost an hour by hour basis. But if you just want to find something that is reasonably priced, that is going to be, you know, get you away from the cold, which is coming, we know it's coming. Those things are great. But what I do encourage people to do is take, as you say, a day or an afternoon away from the resort, find a place a little bit more local. Even if you're not comfortable doing that, pick something at your all-inclusive, even if it's, they're not always truly all-inclusive, even if you have to fork over a little bit of extra cash.
Oh yeah, you have to pay for
the trips. Do something you've never done before.
Sure.
So whether that means getting out on a reef and going snorkeling, trying a scuba class, going to the Latin dance class, something that you haven't done that you wouldn't have done at home, even if you could do it at home. That's one of the great things about getting away on holiday. We do things that, yeah, you could have done it at home, but I never will. So now that I'm away and have the opportunity to do it, let's do it. Make it happen.
It's like when people visit us here in Toronto, we take them to all the places we never go because
we live
here.
I love being a tourist in my own city, right? I love it when somebody comes from overseas and think, well, when's the last time I was at the CN Tower? I don't know. See it every single day. I mean, I'm in the shadow of it in court all the time. But to actually go up it with someone who's never done that before, it's awesome.
Yeah. And you travel a lot. Is it fair to say, and I hope you agree with me, because it would make me feel a little bit better. In all of your travels, you're bound to have at least one trip that just, it's just not great. Like, for some reason or another, not everybody's getting along, or maybe you didn't choose the right place to stay, or maybe something's a little bit off. Because I've experienced that, and even with friends that come back and say, or maybe the child was too young to go to that place, and they'll say, oh, it wasn't what I thought it would be. And my brother once said to me, you know what, sometimes it happens, and you just got to move on and plan your next trip.
It does happen sometimes. I do think, I'm a firm believer in planning, in planning like crazy, and yet being willing to get off script once in a while. So you can't, even though I literally have a script, and people make fun of me for that, like I have calendars. When I go on a trip for 2 or 3 weeks, we'll have a calendar that covers almost hour by hour, every waking hour.
Wow.
For 3 weeks. But I will say, hey, something's not working here. You know, when we were in Israel just last year, I had a big group. It was for my eldest daughter's bat mitzvah, and we had about 18 people, you know, family members ranging in age from about 7 years old to nearly 70 years old. So it's an enormous range. And obviously they can't all do the same thing. And probably, I don't know, 6 or 7 days into that trip, there was a near revolt and people said, hey, it's enough. It's 40 degrees plus the Humidex. We've had enough. We can't do this so much. And we split off. And, you know, some people decided they were going to stay by the pool in the hotel. And I and my immediate family, my kids, my wife and my niece, we pushed on. And I think everybody was happier with that. So you've got to be willing to go off script. But I sincerely encourage making the script, because that will maximize the opportunity that you won't come back with that disappointing trip.
And actually, what you brought up, and we can get into it a little bit this time, maybe more another time, is traveling in large groups and the challenges that surround that. And one of the things that you just said, I think, is so key, is have that time where people can opt in or opt out.
For sure. And first of all, every traveler that you add sort of exponentially increases the complexity of a trip. Okay?
And the stress.
Absolutely. I mean, traveling alone, and I've done that. You know, I go with the guys, for example. We go on a trip and guys don't care, right? We can plan and plan and plan and everything changes and nobody cares what you're wearing. Nobody cares what restaurant you're going to. Let's just get out there. We don't even care what golf course necessarily we're at. That's probably the biggest debate, but we're out and away. When you go with your wife, there's a different dynamic there and you got to make sure that you accommodate for that, or with your spouse. As soon as you bring one kid, now you're talking about the ages, and when you add the grandparents and then you add the aunt and uncle and then you add the friend who maybe isn't in the same financial bracket as you and so wants to spend more or wants to spend less, or maybe doesn't eat the same foods that you do or isn't as healthy as you are. So you're interested in bungee jumping and they're thinking that's crazy. Each person that you add really adds a layer of complexity. So it's not that I discourage big person trips, but when I talk about planning, the more participants you have, the more planning becomes critical. And if you don't like doing that, get a travel agent. I know it sounds crazy. People say, you can do everything online now yourself. And sure, you can, but professionals are still valuable. And people on the ground, people local are still valuable. They'll do that work for you. You'll pay a little bit extra for it, but you'll appreciate it 100 times over.
I think that's an excellent point. And I think that when it comes to planning a trip that has any kind of complexity to it, if you want to do tours in a different city, travel agents are a great idea.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I work very closely. I actually travel with my travel agent very often. She's a close friend of mine. So we're often on the trip together. But I firmly believe that spending a little bit of extra money for that professional is gonna really help you out a lot.
Yeah, we did a trip to Disney a few years ago with the kids, and having a travel agent for that was great, because the person could say, you know, I said, we have a certain amount we want to spend. And she's like, okay, you know what? I would get a lesser value room, but get the dining plan, because that's going to be more valuable to you. Advice like that sometimes you need from someone who can help. Now, do you use a travel agent for all of your trips?
I don't necessarily. I mean, if it's something that I think is straightforward, I'll do that on my own. If there's something that's a little off the beaten track that I think a travel agent is going to help me with, but I'll usually consult on segments of it at least. Even just booking a flight, you know, yes, you can go on Kayak or Expedia or Orbitz or a million of these other places and get something there. But you'll probably only spend about $5 to $10 extra in most circumstances with a good travel agent. And then when that flight needs to be changed last minute, or when you get bumped, or when it turns out that your three-year-old is sitting at the back of the cabin and everybody else was seated at the front of the cabin, there's someone who's going to help you with that. That's worth more than 10 bucks to me, so I'll happily spend that.
All right, we're going to come back, and Ed's going to talk about where he has been most recently. And we'll talk about other things like great spots to vacation in Canada. I'm excited to hear your story, because you were in we're on the East Coast, and I haven't been east of Ontario. I've been to Vancouver many times.
Go east, my friend.
I can't wait to hear about it. We're going to talk that and lots more with Ed Prucci. This is The Crime Traveler. Welcome back to the show. Ed Prucci is here with me, as he will be once a month, for The Crime Traveler. You know him as News Talk 1010's chief legal analyst. And thecrimetraveler.com is his blog. Ed Prucci is a very big traveler. And most recently, you were in PEI.
Yeah, this is a gem that if you haven't been, I mean, East period, the Canadian East is absolutely spectacular. And I think it plays the sad second cousin to Canada's West, where everybody pictures spectacular mountains, unbelievable skiing, and just ocean and ocean and ocean.
It's like even the royals would go there.
Imagine that.
Imagine,
it's good enough,
right?
For the royals.
Yeah.
But East Coast has, you know, everything and more. I mean, I'm not going to suggest it's got quite that mountainous region, although there are some places that are like that. But the national parks there are absolutely stunning and incredible. The people are absolutely marvelous. The villages and towns and the opportunities. Some of the best beaches in Canada are right in this little gem of Prince Edward Island. It's one of the warmest waterways, which is surprising because it's it's fairly far north, but the water stays unusually warm because of the currents there. So, you know, you can go in late summer when things are already chilling in other places and the water is still spectacularly warm. And if you've ever been to Ireland, for example, or Scotland, or if you haven't been, even more so, this is your cheap way to do it because it looks a lot like that.
Oh, wow.
And particularly for me as a golfer, we just got back from a golf vacation there. You know, I've golfed some of the greatest courses in Scotland, the old course at St. Andrews, Troon, Turnberry, Carnoustie. You know, these are, if you're a golfer, this is where you want to be. You can go to Prince Edward Island and golf courses that they don't have the history of that, but from a layout and from a beauty perspective and from a challenge perspective are pretty close to the equal of that for, I don't think I'm exaggerating, 20% of the price. Not 20% off, 20% of the price. It is so reasonable on a dollar for dollar basis. And if you're going as a family, renting a home or getting a hotel, very, very reasonably priced there also. So Prince Edward Island is a really easy 2-and-change-hour flight.
If I'm thinking
right around the corner.
Okay, so if I'm thinking of going east, why would I choose PEI over Newfoundland, over Nova Scotia?
So, I'm not going to knock any of them. I mean, Newfoundland's a little bit farther, and Newfoundland's isolated in a way that PEI isn't. Thanks to the bridge, you know, you can get off of PEI and end up in New Brunswick if you want, or you can take the ferry. It's a short and beautiful ferry ride into Cariboo, Nova Scotia, I think it is, and that gets you right on the doorstep of Cape Breton. But what PEI has going for it, it really is a very quiet, sleepy place. There's coastline everywhere. I mean, it's such a small island that you can circumnavigate it by car in probably about 2.5 hours and still stop at a few of the lighthouses. So if you like that feel, if you're into Anne of Green Gables at all, which my wife and daughters absolutely are, not my kind of thing, but I got dragged through the actual, Green Gabled house.
Oh, that's cool.
It's pretty cool. It's there. So if you're into, Lucy Maud Montgomery and her books, that's a really exciting place. It's got just some phenomenal food restaurants, Cow's Creamery, which is a world famous ice cream, especially if you're in Asia, believe it or not. It's enormous in Asia, and Asian tourists abound and flock to PEI. It's like they know our Canadian gems better than we do. It's right here in our backyard, and they're talking all about it, in Beijing and Hong Kong. And here we are going, PEI, never thought of that.
So this was a golf trip and a family trip.
So I did it in two stages, actually. So a couple of years ago, I took the family. I did no golf clubs involved whatsoever. And we did the water parks and we did the beaches. And we did one thing that I thought was really cool, which I wanted to do something different. We knew we wanted to spend time on the beach. I am terrible with downtime. So time on the beach to me is time wasted, even though my family wanted that.
You sound like my brother.
So I look
like my brother.
But I thought we came up with a perfect sort of compromise there, where I found a guy named Maurice Bernard. He's very famous on the island, used to be a teacher, but what he's most famous for is for all the tourist seasons in restaurants and hotels, he's the guy who makes these phenomenal sand sculptures that you'll see in front of resorts and in front of hotels and in front of restaurants promoting things. But if you reach out to him, he's very happy for a pretty nominal fee to come to a beach with you and show you how he does that. And so I and my kids and my wife, the four of us, well, the five of us, because Maurice, of course, was taking the lead, built a sandcastle over the course of an hour from just flat out sand, water, and mud with very simple tools like a ruler and a spatula effectively. And it was not the kind of sandcastle, you built as a kid where you just had the little frame. This thing was incredible. It had moats and buttresses and turrets, and tourists were coming by at the end of that and taking pictures of our work. And our kids took really a lot of pride in it. When they go to the Caribbean now, they remember Maurice and they're building their sandcastles.
Okay. So if people are planning a vacation, I mean, that kind of thing is such a great idea that you found him and you found that you could pay him and he would come to the beach. Where do people begin to find ideas of interesting and unusual things to do when they're traveling?
So, I mean, there's a lot of specific sites, but obviously the answer is the internet. The internet has put the entire planet in your back pocket. So it is so easy to just go wherever it is you're going. If you're going with kids, you type in, Las Vegas with kids. That sounds crazy, but it's not. There is tremendous opportunity. Someone's already done it. Someone's already been there. Someone's already come up with that. If you really want to get creative, just type in what you already like and enjoy or are interested in, and it doesn't matter whether it's in that space or not, and then tag on the place you're going to, and you never know what you're going to find. So, Expedia is a tremendous resource for that, I find. Travelocity is a tremendous resource.
What about TripAdvisor?
And TripAdvisor is the biggest one.
It is.
So I was saving that for that. Yeah, and TripAdvisor has become so dominant that attractions, hotels, restaurants, they're reliant on it. Like when you leave places like this, they are asking you, please go on TripAdvisor, give a comment. And if your comment is sort of anything short of a 5-star or 4.5-star, the good places will actually respond and they'll say, you know, we're sorry we didn't meet your expectations. So there's a lot of power in the consumer now because of the sort of socialization through internet and TripAdvisor. It's become a real juggernaut in that field.
Yeah. And I think what maybe a lot of people don't realize if they haven't sort of fallen upon it, which I did a few years ago, is that on TripAdvisor, you can get reviews of tours in different cities. And that's one way I like to also check out a city.
We do that all the time.
The tours.
And the great thing about that too is like if you're at an all-inclusive resort or if you're on a cruise line, yes, there are advantages of booking through your cruise line or booking through the resort that you're at. But if you're a little cost sensitive and willing to step a little bit outside, there's always somebody who has replicated exactly that tour and wants to make you virtually the same guarantee that the cruise line will make you for probably 30% less.
Right. Yeah, you see that. If you look ahead before you go on your trip, you will find one. So we have about a minute left.
Wow, that's fast.
I know. So I don't know if you want to do maybe some more stuff on PEI and some of the highlights of that, or maybe a travel tip.
Well, so you know what? I'll tell you one thing. I see it. There's a text message here that I want to address. So right off the top, we have a text from someone that says, well, my issue with planning a holiday is trying to juggle work as a small business owner and not having a key man or key person to cover that off. How do you cover off your work obligations? And this is something that she's particularly, or the texter is particularly asking about extended trips. They say, look, I can go for a weekend, but how do I go for longer than that? I want to go to Europe for 2 weeks. I do take sometimes 3 or even 4 weeks off, and I've got some law partners, but as you can imagine, in my business, the law business, when there's an emergency, there's an expectation that I'm available to deal with
it.
And so people have different views on this, but my own, I do bring my phone with me and my family knows it. I will check once a day, effectively at the end of the day, I will put out whatever fires are there and I will respond to it. And some people say, well, that takes away, it ruins the vacation. To me, it's what makes the vacation possible in the first place. So I'm willing to take that extra time. I know that my desk is going to pile up when I get back, but it's not going to be literally on fire, which it otherwise would be if I wasn't checking the phone.
Yeah. I mean, some people might say it takes away, but it actually allows you to take a vacation, which you wouldn't otherwise be able to take because you'd be chained to your desk.
Which is not to knock the weekend trips, right? But the reality is if you're willing to take a 14-day block, I mean, there's so much more you can do, right? The planet just expands and expands and expands the more time you're willing to give yourself.
Do you know, will you be traveling between now and the next time?
Probably. Yeah. I'll always find something. I know I've got some stuff planned in December. I've got some stuff planned in April,
but I've got a whole bank of things that
I've written about and talked about before that I really want to bring here. So, you know, text me, write me at Prucci on Twitter, PRUTSCHI. I'd love people to let me know what they want to hear about. And
sounds
if I've been
good.
There, we'll talk about it. And if I haven't, I'll go.
Terrific. All right. Ed Prucci, the crime traveler. Thank you so much. We'll do it again in a few weeks.
Thanks, Barb.
See you then.